This morning we were at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and this evening we're at the end of it. Reading Matthew 7, verses 13 through 29. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. I've called your attention especially to verses 24 through 29. These are the ones that we'll be thinking about especially this evening. I've entitled our message, Which Foundation? The parable of the two builders brings to a close the Sermon on the Mount, and we can see by the way in which it is introduced that it is intended to include all that he had said earlier in its application. It is introduced with the word, therefore. And whenever you see the word therefore, you want to know what it's there for. And it's there because he wants you to remember everything that he said ahead of that. And this final story applies to the entire Sermon on the Mount that he had been speaking. The point of the parable is that we are to do the things that he has been talking about. It is no good to hear what we should do if we're not going to do it. We should each determine to do whatever we believe Christ wants us to do. James speaks of the great importance of being doers of the word in James 1, 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. In essence, every person is building a house. As we live our lives, we are building. Our thoughts, our actions, our ambitions, our words, these are all building blocks with which the structure of our life takes shape. But there is a great difference in builders. Jesus divides the builders here into two classes: the ones who build on a rock and the ones who build on the sand. In many respects, the two classes are similar. They are both building a house, but the difference is in the foundation. The wise one is the one who builds on the rock. He has enough foresight to realize there will be storms to weather, and he is wise enough to prepare for the storms by building on the rock. The foolish man never thinks of the future. He only thinks of the present. He only does what is handiest at the time. It's easier just to build right on top of the sand. The sand's nice and smooth and easy to level out, and you just go right ahead with your building project and not worry about all that digging. I know when I was building a porch onto the front of our house, well, I was told I needed to dig down till I got below the frost line and then pour a foundation down there. So I worked for many weeks getting all that accomplished. It was quite a project, but I got it done. I'm happy with it. But it hasn't moved since I built it. And for that, I'm happy. Because I went down where I needed to lay a proper foundation. But the foolish man doesn't bother with that. And Jesus himself explains the difference between the two builders. The wise builder represents the person who puts the words of Jesus into practice. The words of Jesus include all that he has said in the Sermon on the Mount, but can in reality be expanded to include everything in the Word of God. These words of Jesus that are to be put into practice include many important areas of life. The Beatitudes speak of many characteristics that are to be ours: meekness, humility, hunger for righteousness, merciful, purity, peacemakers. The Christian as salt and light in the world, the duty and privilege of prayer, getting along with our brothers, faithfulness to marriage vows, love for enemies, care for the poor, overcoming lust and greed, overcoming worry, treating others justly, the golden rule, watching out for false prophets, seeking to enter the narrow gate. All of these things are covered in the Sermon on the Mount, and they all are applied in this parable of the wise and the foolish builder. The wise builder does all these things, the foolish one doesn't. The wise will seek to put these things into practice and will be building on the rock. In reality, it might be said that building on the rock is building one's life on Christ. The Scriptures often speak of God and Christ in terms of a rock. For example, Isaiah 28:6. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. 1 Peter 2, 4-8. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. And then 1 Corinthians 3:10-11. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Then 1 Corinthians 10:1-4. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. So Christ was present even in the Old Testament and was the rock on which their faith was based. The wise man builds his life on the rock which is Christ. But the foolish man refuses to build on Christ the rock. He trusts in himself and does not think of the future. He follows his own sinful will. Next comes the day of testing. The wind blows, and the rains fall, and the floodwaters rise. Both houses feel the fury of the storm. But the one survives, and the other one falls. Those storms of testing come in many forms: trials, temptations, doubts, discouragement, bereavement, death, and finally the judgment day, which can't be prevented. It comes upon us all, sooner or later. Some years ago in Oregon, we lived in Portland, Oregon for 6 years, and there was one very serious storm out there. There was very serious flooding caused by a combination of events. First, there came a hard freeze, which was a bit unusual in Oregon because it's pretty mild there. But the ground froze hard. And then there was a heavy snowfall, which also was a bit unusual in that area. But that snow fell on top of the frozen ground. And then a third thing happened. There was a very rapid thaw in which the snow just melted suddenly. And combined with that was very heavy rain. So the heavy rain, the rapidly melting snow, and the frozen ground that wouldn't let the water soak in meant that all the water rushed off. And it caused the rivers to just go wild. And they were rising far above normal flood stages. Some towns along the rivers had homes too close to the rivers. And the rivers undermined the homes, and they toppled into the river. And whole houses were seen floating down the river into the Pacific Ocean. Their foundations were not solid. They weren't built on the rock, and they were washed out to sea. When the John Day Dam, and this is part of that same flood time, when the John Day Dam was being built on the Columbia River between Oregon and Washington, it was necessary to build the freeway that went along the river on a higher level so that it would be above the level of the lake that would be formed behind the John Day Dam in the Columbia River. And so that the road would not be flooded then. Now, where the John Day River empties into the Columbia, tall piers were constructed in the riverbed to support the roadway. And they were some 70 feet tall. So the roadway was way above the previous level of the river. It was not thought necessary to dig down to solid rock because the waters would be calm once the reservoir was filled. It would be deep water there, and there would be no need to have those piers down on solid rock. But when the flood came, before the dam was finished, the John Day River became a raging torrent, and it washed out the piers, and a section of the freeway collapsed into the river, taking a car or two with it. The piers were not built on the solid rock, so they were washed out when the storm came. And the only foundation we can safely build our lives on is Jesus Christ, the solid rock. That foundation remains secure in every storm that we face in life. Nothing can undermine it or wash it out. He is a solid foundation for every area of our lives, for our personal lives, our morals, our philosophy of life, our purposes, our goals, for our family lives, and regulate our business and financial dealings. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:11 that no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. To build on any other foundation is to bring destruction upon ourselves. So the choice is before us. Which foundation will we build our lives on? The rock-solid foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, or the sand of unbelief? Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only solid foundation on which we can safely build our lives. And we thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us and given us Your Word and enabled us to understand it so that we can lay hold upon Your promises. And we can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation and for forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. Be with each of us to help us to live in a manner that honors You, that brings glory to Your name. Help us through the difficult times in life and give us Your encouragement and strengthening. Be with us for the responsibilities of this coming week and help each of us to honor You in all that we do. Forgive in mercy our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.